Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Bring him in every Tuesday, like clockwork, and that is our dear friend Mike Tenenbaum. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well. We appreciate, as always, you joining us for a couple minutes. Let's get right to it. Sounds like the Jets are either on the verge or it's happened of signing Logan Ryan to a one-year deal. I like this. What's your thought on this if they add him for depth in the secondary?
I like it. He's a good player. He's been productive in his career, and these guys are hard to find. So that, I think, would be a really good sign for them if that comes to fruition.
Mike T, I mean, one of the other areas of concern for the New York Jets headed into the season is edge pass rush. What would the negatives be in your mind of the Jets potentially signing someone like Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Rick. I think he makes sense for the Jets or the Giants. I've always been a fan of his. I think he's more productive against the run than people give him credit for. Obviously, the big knock on him is he's only played in 16 games once in his career. But he's only 27 years old. I think he's a three-down player. And candidly, if you outside of the Cam Newton discussion, I think he's the best player out there. Even with somebody like Logan Ryan, I think Logan Ryan's a good player at a premium position. I think Clowney has a chance to dominate games. And if you can make sure that he's healthy, I think that's a great signing, really, for either the Jets or the Giants.
Mike T, there's a report out there that multiple teams are exploring the prospects of hosting their training camp in a different site than they're accustomed to just because of what's going on with the pandemic. I mean, I need you to put your GM hat on this one. Is that something that you would do if you were a general manager of a club right now? Is that something that you would entertain?
Yeah, absolutely. And candidly, Chris, that only has something like a limited sort of purview of like what it means with the pandemic from a standpoint of, I think it's so helpful to do that. I learned firsthand with Rex Ryan about going away to Cortland, New York, and Rex's line that I'll never forget is, look, we're going to go away as 50 individuals and 50 cars, but if those same 50 players come back in 10 cars, we're going to leave as individuals and come back as a team. So I understand the pandemic has brought that to the surface, but I think you get such a benefit in terms of the morale that you build that it makes a lot of sense to me.
Mike T with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So Mike, let me ask you this. You mentioned Cam Newton. Is the best thing for him to wait and to see what team needs a quarterback eventually when someone goes down so that he can move right in as the starting quarterback? Because at some point, a quarterback will go down during the course of the season. Or is the best thing for him to sign somewhere, play as the backup, and you know, I guess from his mindset, hope that at some point during the season, he winds up as the starter?
Yeah, Dave, the more I look at it, the one team that just jumps out to me is Pittsburgh, because if I'm running the Steelers, look, I have a really, really good young defense. I have pressure players. I check a lot of boxes. I think the one thing they don't have is a bridge from Ben. And if you go back a year ago, they traded a player I like a lot, Josh Dobbs, a young, talented quarterback who 2 years ago played exceptionally well in a preseason game against Green Bay. They traded him. We saw firsthand that Mason Rudolph isn't good enough. At the end of the day, he's just not good enough to be their future. And Duck Hodges is, you know, a fun little story, but no one's going to, you know, confuse him with being a starting NFL quarterback. So if you could go out and get what was the first pick in the draft, who's taking the team to a Super Bowl when he's healthy, and you have a 38-year-old quarterback that's already hurt, like, I think to me that would be such a great opportunity for Pittsburgh, and it could really lead eventually to a bridge after what, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, we saw what they were without him last year. To me, that would just be a great opportunity for them.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike T, with the virtual offseason and the unknown of, you know, potentially training camps and everything else, is the effect of the rookies, I mean, is there a position that you look at that because of what's going on during this offseason that will have less of an impact than usual?
Well, you know what's interesting is just talking to a number of teams, like what everyone's saying is it's the relationships that you can't build. So I think it's going to – I think when you look at it geographically, you're seeing people that have to relocate. You know, Justin Herbert's never left Oregon before. he has to move to Southern California. I think these quarterbacks are going to take a while. I think other players like running backs, corners, you may be able to plug and play and say, hey, you know, learn these three or four plays and know them well. So I think it's going to be a little bit position specific, but I think we're going to see some real growing pains just because, again, relationships can't be built. And a lot of these guys are moving, and these are their first jobs that they've ever had.
Mike T, and that being said, with the growing pains, I guess I want to ask you about both the signal callers for the New York teams. Both of these are young quarterbacks that are trying to develop, and clearly this offseason is not what's ideal in terms of their overall growth. So what do you anticipate will be the biggest challenge for them in terms of being able to overcome the offseason and be on track to continue to ascend as a young franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I think this is where Darnold is clearly ahead of Jones. First of all, I think, you know, both teams did a good job of, and we've talked about this quite a bit. You know, they fortified their line, so I think that's going to help both. But to the extent that Daniel Jones is now the starter from day one, he has to learn a new offense. He has to build a relationship with Jason Garrett. Again, those things, guys, and you guys know this as former players, those things don't happen overnight. I think for Darnold, hopefully, you know, they've done a couple of things at receiver. Maybe Mims is a guy that steps up early. He was a guy that a lot of people liked that. I think that was a great opportunity that he fell to them. And obviously, you know, what they did on the offensive line. So I think Darnold has a better chance just because of the continuity he has with Coach Gase and Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So, excuse me, let me look at the Giants with you, because I've looked at it from, and I'm not saying you're wrong, clearly, but kind of a different avenue of, you know, you have a second-year quarterback, you have an established running back that you like, the receivers are decent or even a little bit better, you have a tight end when healthy, and I know it's a big win, but when healthy is a really nice player, and you've clearly revamped the offensive line. Am I looking at this wrong to not think the Giants will be a better offensive team in year two of Daniel Jones?
Yeah, no, I think they should be. You know, the challenge, candidly, is, you know, if you were drafting the quarterbacks in the NFC East, you know, at best, he's clearly the third, and he may be the fourth best quarterback in the division. So as you start trying to orchestrate and say, like, all right, if we're the Giants, how do we win our division? I don't think it's going to be by saying, well, we're going to outplay you at the quarterback position. You know, for years when we compete against New England at either the Jets or the Dolphins, we always thought about, hey, we had to have a better defense, or how else can we control the game? Because over a 16-game season, I don't think any of the four of us would not take Prescott or Wentz, you know, before Daniel Jones. And obviously, you know, what's going on in Washington, you would have to give that a grade of incomplete. So, you know, my biggest concern for them is, you know, when you look at their defense, Dave, I don't see enough players on that side of the field that are going to make
plays
for them.
That's the point that I think the offense needs to be ahead of the defense, because I think the defense will struggle.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, again, I think what they did for the offensive line will make Jones better, Ingram better, Barkley better. I agreed there. I just think it's going to be an uphill battle for them in the NFC East for the next couple of years because of Prescott and Wentz.
Mike T, from the people that you've talked to, and I know, you know, the NFL kind of just has put their head down and, you know, done the draft, done free agency, says they're going to start the season on September 10th. I mean, if push came to shove and the NFL could start the season, but there'd be no fans in the seats, would the NFL choose to do that, or would they try to buy some time and push the season back, do you think?
Yeah, my sense is I think the NFL feels incredibly fortunate that, as you know, we're dealing with this obviously awful tragedy in our country and the world, they have the luxury of time. And, you know, to the extent that if you think about it, you know, we had this incredible Super Bowl, Mahomes comes back, and literally, you know, then that's when the world starts to unravel. And I think they're going to just keep taking the benefit of watching everybody else go through their fits and starts and adjust accordingly. So I think, you know, just even at ESPN, from watching Korean baseball and seeing them have, you know, cardboard fans sitting, you know, having masks, you know, all the different things, I think we'll know a lot more once the NBA and MLB goes back. But again, I think when we saw the schedule, what definitely popped out to me, guys, was the Super Bowl could go back about a month. So they could literally shift everything to, I believe it's mid-October, play a 16-game season, and just end a little bit later. So if you're running the NFL when it's all said and done, if you had a 16-game season, maybe you eliminate the byes, maybe you eliminate the Pro Bowl. When it's all said and done, you know, that's a pretty good result. And hopefully, you know, for everybody, you know, the world looks a little bit different, you know, in the middle of October than it does today.
Mike T, that's the long-term outlook. But in the short term, I mean, the NFL has let it be known that these teams can start making preparations to allow people to start coming back into the building at the end of this month. How far away do you think we are from seeing players actually going back into NFL facilities?
Yeah, Chris, to me, that's baby steps because, you know, you can't have a setback. I mean, you really have a zero-sum game when you have players in the building. You cannot bring a healthy player into your building and have him get sick. So I just know from a team perspective, that's first, second, and third on everyone's mind. I think you could see the business side open up, not to say that they're not as important, but, you know, if you lose somebody in the marketing department and they have to quarantine for 14 weeks, that's different than if Saquon Barkley goes into quarantine. So I think all the teams are just being very cautious, being very prudent to make sure that they have the requisite sort of infrastructure that as players come in from social distancing to testing, that they're not going to have any setbacks. And I think that's why you're seeing teams appropriately move, you know, somewhat slowly.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, what's the team that you look at this season, if hopefully we're going to have a season, that goes from the outside looking into to a playoff team? Like, is it Cleveland? Is it Arizona? Is it a different team than that? What's that one team that you say they weren't there last year and they struggled, but this year you look out for them?
Yeah, I agree, Dave. I think it's Cleveland, and because if you just look at it systematically, if we define the job as, hey, we got to make Baker Mayfield better, you know, let's look at the two tackles. They got Jedrick Wills. They signed Jack Conklin. They added Austin Hooper from Atlanta. They to me, have checked a lot of boxes of turning a weakness into a strength. And I think the other thing they had to do, which I think we would all agree, is they had to turn the noise down. And to their credit, Kevin Stefanski, you know, we're not hearing a lot out of there. And I think they have some talent, and they just have to go to work. So now their challenge, similar to the Giants, is, you know, you're facing Lamar Jackson, you know, two times a year, mm-hmm. Roethlisberger coming back two times a year. All of a sudden, a healthy Roethlisberger and a returning MVP, you know, that division looks a little bit different than maybe it did a year ago. So I always think about how do you win your division? But to the extent I think Cleveland's righted its ship, and I think they're certainly heading in the right direction.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike T, I'm not going to ask you about Dak Prescott. I feel like we ask you about that every single time we have you on. More of a question about, you know, the finances of the NFL. At what point, or do we ever get to a point, it seems like, you know, the next quarterback up is the highest paid player in the NFL, and that's just the way the, you know, it works. Do we get to a point where that some at a certain point has to stop? That you're going to get yourself, teams going to get themselves in trouble where they're paying, you know, this absurd amount of money to a quarterback that really doesn't deserve to be paid that much money?
You know, Rick, that's a great tee up for me to have a shameless plug that if you go to Real Tannenbaum, I had a tweet on that earlier today.
Oh.
So I really appreciate it. yeah, no question about it. It's hard to win a championship when all that money is allocated to a veteran quarterback. And that's why right now, Kansas City, Baltimore, there should be a huge sense of urgency of trying to win a title. You know, we saw that with Seattle. They had a great nucleus around Russell Wilson when he had a rookie contract, and then he gets paid, and it's just hard to keep that nucleus together. So I totally agree with that. It's really about trying to keep that nucleus together. And I've said this multiple times. If I'm Patrick Mahomes, if I'm the Chiefs, I put Patrick Mahomes on the same side of the table and say, all right, it's not the verb isn't spend. We're going to allocate. And if you don't want to have Chris Jones here, the talented defensive tackle, if you don't want to have Sammy Watkins here, let's have a goodbye party. You'll pay for it. And we'll be playing with a whole bunch of rookies. So how much of this pie do you really want to have?
Mike T, just a follow-up, and this is the last one for me. Okay, so in saying that, right, I mean, most players are focused on, you know, actual guarantees. Like, what's the guaranteed money? So if you're the GM of Baltimore or you're the GM of the Kansas City Chiefs, and you start thinking about long-term how much money you're going to have to pay these quarterbacks, do you take the calculated risk of offering someone like Pat Mahomes, let's just say, you know, a 10-year deal with $250 million guaranteed just so you keep him locked in at the $25 million bucks a year?
Yeah, I think you got to get him done as soon as possible. It's really it's only going to get more expensive. So, like with Dallas, for example, you get Dak Prescott signed, he'll be the highest paid player, guys, for about 10 or 15 minutes. Mahomes, Jackson, they will go right by him. So the timing of these things is really important, and I just think time is not on the side of any of these teams. Like, the good news is you have a franchise quarterback. The bad news is, with 10-year labor peace, despite the pandemic, guys, we know that football is going to draw. You know, just look at the draft. The ratings were absolutely incredible. So I would just move sooner than later. And even if you have to take a risk on the guaranteed money, Rick, I think it's worth it in the end.
Mike T, with the NFL expanding the playoff field from 12 teams to 14 teams, do you see teams at the midseason trade deadline deciding to be more aggressive this year, more activity?
Oh, I think so. I think we're going to see such an interesting storyline because, as Dave alluded to earlier, Chris, like, we'll have a couple of surprise teams. We always do. But just given the nature of all the movement and unusual off seasons, you know, is it Tyrod Taylor that comes out of the gate strong, or does Drew Lock take a huge year in year two? So there's a lot of variables. We'll see how it plays out. But I do think, to the extent that there'll be a lot of roster management, I think we'll see a lot of trades throughout the year.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Two-parter for me. One, Rick has alluded that he's asked his final question in the interview. Do you believe that to be true?
It would be the first time. This would be a historic moment for the four of us if that was.
Yeah, so I tend to agree with you there. And secondarily,
I would be disappointed if it was.
Yeah, no, I agree. Bears quarterback week one, Foles or Trubisky?
It's Nick Foles, draw a line. How can you possibly put out a guy that was last in the NFL in yards per attempt and the field gets compressed on him? Trubisky is just not good enough. You know, if I was the GM of the Bears and he's a good guy, Ryan Pace, I would take a page from Tampa Bay, which is this. Jason Light, the general manager of the Buccaneers, drafted Jameis Winston. It didn't work out. And look, I know all about drafting quarterbacks that do work out and don't. It's just what you sign up for when you work for a front office. However, no one in Tampa Bay is writing anything about Jameis Winston not working out. They're all talking about Tom Brady. And if I'm the Bears, I just turn the page forward. I have a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Nick Foles. He knows the offense really well with Matt Nagy. We move forward, and, you know, the Trubisky thing didn't work out. And I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but ultimately that's the reality of what's going to happen there.
Wow. It seems like we might be done.
Well, I don't want to disappoint Mike T. But here's the thing. I don't want to disappoint Mike T. Mike T, here's the one thing, though. And this is less of a question and more coming at you. And I don't like to do this because you know how much I love you. And I'm actually sitting here sipping on a soy tea latte right now in memory of you. I mean, don't you run the risk, though?
In memory. Can I die?
Well, no, because we haven't seen each other. Usually, I mean, you're sitting right next to me. You're midway through and answering a question. You're taking a sip. I mean, you're shotgunning a hot tea latte. I mean, I miss it. No, but here's the thing, though. I mean, we're talking about Nick Foles like he's Tom Brady. I mean, Nick Foles, I mean, he lost his job to Gardner Minshew. I mean, don't you run the risk that if you do start with Nick Foles, you may have lost Mitch Trubisky, as opposed to you start with Mitch Trubisky and you can always, you know, replace him with Nick Foles because you know Nick Foles is capable mentally of coming off the bench?
Yeah, I really just see it different, Rick. The greatest people I know in life, be it leaders of industry, coaches, franchise quarterbacks, they all have mental toughness. And if Mitch Trubisky can't get off the deck, wipe himself off and say, hey, I got a fresh start here, then he's not an NFL starting quarterback anyway. But to me, you want to win as many games as quickly as possible. I know Foles isn't perfect, but I think he fits well with that offense. He's smart. You could question his durability. I think that's totally fair. Last year was certainly unusual in Jacksonville for a lot of reasons, you know, given what happened with Jalen Ramsey. And I'm not making excuses, but I just think from a skill set standpoint, we're talking about two different levels. And I don't know where Trubisky would have been drafted if the Bears passed on him. I'm not sure how many other teams saw him as a first-round quarterback. And I think what happens in the NFL, and Chris knows this as a former defensive player, which is when you know your opponent's weakness, you want to rip their heart out with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he can't throw the ball 20 yards to his left outside the numbers with any consistency, to me that becomes ultimately a fatal flaw. And he has not shown the consistency to have any accuracy down the field, especially to his left, and that ultimately could be his professional demise.
Mike T, because it always feels like this from year to year, you know, there's always a team that wins the division that finds themselves on the outside looking in on the playoffs the following season. Outside of the New England Patriots, because of the unknown at their quarterback position, which division winner from 2019 could you see on the outside looking in on the playoffs in 2020?
Yeah, I would say the South, the AFC South, just because I really, you know, I've always been a big believer in Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, obviously we'll see how things play out with Houston. But I, the other thing I just think at the end of the day, guys, is you don't trade great players. And DeAndre Hopkins is a great player. He's not a good player. So I would think on paper, you know, looking at it, I think Tennessee, to me, is the favorite over Houston in the South.
All right, Mike, we're going to attempt to let you go again. We'll see if Rick jumps in here and throws something else at you. But it seems like that's not the case. So.
Mike T., what's going on in Jacksonville? Go. I mean, is Jacksonville just trying to be the worst team in the NFL, in your opinion?
I certainly hope not. I mean, Doug Marrone's a good coach. He's won a lot of games in his career at multiple spots. That place should be a destination. You know, if you think about the taxes, the weather, practicing on grass, playing on grass, that team and franchise, that should be a destination. And candidly, it's somewhat disappointing that it's not. I was wrong. I thought they were going to be exceptional last year. The fact that so many players want to leave there, that's a concern. You know, from an ownership standpoint, when you have the Jalen Ramseys of the world, the Yannick Ngakwes, Calais Campbell wasn't upset to leave. You know, that's something that you have to drill down on, because really, when you look at it, you would think that a lot of NFL players would want to live there and play there.
Are you in love with Trevor Lawrence, like so many seem to be?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I don't know if it's love, but I think he certainly is clearly ahead of Justin Fields right now. I think Fields is really intriguing, Dave. Guy had 41 touchdowns in the Big Ten his first year starting. To me, the more interesting question right now is, what in the world was Kirby Smart thinking? And Kirby Smart's a really good coach. I like him a lot. But when I went to practice last year at Ohio State and Justin Fields went by me at practice, I thought I was looking at Cam Newton. The guy was a physical stud. He throws 41 touchdown passes. And I'm thinking to myself, like, Jacob Fromm, the incumbent quarterback at Georgia, must be Superman. How in the world is he keeping this guy on the bench? So that, to me, from a scouting standpoint, is going to be question one, two, and three, which is, how in the world did you not start at Georgia? Jacob Fromm turned out to be a fifth-round pick.
Mike T., how is scouting going to work if the college football season has to get pushed back to the spring semester?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, Chris. I think they'll have to move the draft back if we don't have college football. And I think it's going to be really unfair to ask some of these players to play in, what, 25, 28 games, depending on what happens. So I do think what we would see is, as much as we would have a quote-unquote normal NFL season with 16 games pushed back, I think you would just have to move the draft back to, you know, maybe this time next year. You know, maybe it's a Memorial Day draft with college football starting on Feb 1. You know, a lot has to be worked out, obviously, but I know there's already been some discussion about what that could look like to get a full football season, both at the college and pro level.
All right, Mike, before Rick jumps this, we're going to let you go. Thank you. Thank you, as always. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Be healthy. Be safe. We'll talk to you in a week.
All right, guys. Yeah, you too. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, absolutely. That, of course, is Mike Tannenbaum, who answers, I mean, so many questions, like rapid fire here with him.
Excellent. That's why you love him, though. I mean, that's why you love him. And we had him for, what, 23 minutes?
23 minutes.
And, I mean, sometimes we'll do interviews where you have 23 minutes and you'll get to ask a question
each. Goes
Oh. Yeah, so, I mean,
how awful are the interviews when you have a 23-minute interview and you ask two questions?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. If you have one of those days where you'd rather not do much talking, you just
eat
up a whole
second.
I don't think it's awful when we have Jordan Renan. Come on, guys.
Wow. That's a shot. That was a shot.
That was a shot.
Yeah, that was a huge shot. Poor Jordan. Poor guy sitting at home with his sweatpants.
I love Jordan, man. Come on. You guys know I love Jordan Renan. We go back.
Yeah, here's the other thing. By the way, okay, so we got to go to break. I get it. But, I mean, this is just an observation headed into an observation.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, I'm going to, you know, start amping things up here with this new, you know, bang, marry, kill game, right? Mm-hmm. Division by division.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the biggest topics right now in all of sports, not just professional sports, I mean, every time you turn on Get Up is what's happening with college football. I mean, as far as I know, Chris, there's one of us on the show that has a close personal relationship, it may be his favorite guest, with, I mean, you tell me, one of the foremost authorities on college football. Why do we not have him as a guest?
A great question. He had some interesting things to say this morning on Get Up. I'd love to have him on.
Dave, you can't slip in his DMs. I mean, you're comfortable doing that.
I don't even know who we're talking about.
Who's your favorite guest?
Feinbaum?
If you whispered right now, he could hear you all the way down in
Feinbaum?
Yes. Why do we not have Paul Feinbaum this week?
Well, why are you attacking me?
Because he's your guy. You love him.
Well, let me see. I don't even think he follows me. I don't even think I can send him a DM.
No, slide into his DMs. You know how to do that. And then let's get this thing worked out.
All you got to do is go outside and holler for him, Dave. You know he'll hear you.
Yeah, just yell.
So if I just scream right now, we could have him in the next segment.
Yeah, just summon him. Yeah, he'll do it.
I don't even have the ability to send him a DM.
We need to find someone that can send him a DM.
But why don't we have our producer reach out and get him?
Oh, just because I felt like picking on you. Yeah, that's the only reason, really. Because you try to embarrass me in front of Mike T.
How did I embarrass you?
Oh, Rick's going to jump in with the question.
Well, I mean, you're known. That is your calling card, is that when you think it's over, you jump in.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Dave on this one, Rico. That is what you do.
And you even announce when it's your last question. This is my last question. Look at me, my last question.
Yeah, he's like one of those Geico commercials. It's what you do.
Yeah, it's literally what you do. But listen, I'm pent up. I got a 3- and a 5-year-old. I'm home by my. Listen, I got a lot going on. I got quite, my brain's working overtime, and he stimulates my brain. What do you want me to tell you?
No, he's terrific. You didn't like the way he answered that question, though, because you gave us this whole song and dance about how you think that Trubisky starts the year.
I don't think Nick Foles is great.
I mean, Trubisky.
Well, no, yeah, that's fine. Trubisky's bad, but I mean, let's not pretend like Nick Foles is. I mean,
I don't think either one of them are starting quarterback material.
Yeah, like he's like, oh, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback. Yeah. And you start mentioning Nick Foles and Tom Brady in the same sentence, you lose me. I'm out.
Agreed.
Well, he's better than Trubisky.
Yeah, he's better than Trubisky. Yeah, he's won a Super Bowl, but I don't want Nick Foles as my quarterback for all 16. No. If we're talking about 4 to 6 games, cool. Small sample size. But if he's got to be the guy the entire year, I think he's proven that he's not that guy.
No, they don't have that guy on their roster.
See, this is what I'm talking about, Chris. That's what I needed right there, Chris. Get in my back like that. Thank you very much.
Oh, I got you, man.
He really
take that, Dave.
Turned his nose up at you with that question. You could feel
That's fine. I could feel a little bit. Well, because he's
All right, we didn't do yesterday because Greeny joined us for a long time. These are going to be good. Nobservations. You've waited 3 days now since last Friday. They're back. They'll be better than ever. They're Nobservations, and they're next. 98.7. In these trying times, important to remember we pulled together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com and let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. You know, it's going to be on Bart and Han at 2 o'clock today. One of your favorites, Rick. One of your absolute
One of my favorites.
One of your favorites.
Can you give me a sport?
I can give you the baseball sport.
Buster only,
2 o'clock. And 7:30 tomorrow morning, Chris, on Golic and Wingo, big-time NFL guest. Big-time local NFL guest. Care to venture? Take a guess? Jump in?
And you give us a clue, other than just being local.
Local, new...
Joe Judge.
There we go. 7:30 in the morning, Golic and Wingo.
Nice,
right?
Yeah. Get to hear a little more about Joe Judge's plan. How he's going to get this thing turned around.
Am I wrong to be optimistic about him right now? Or do you think that's just me wearing the Giants colored glasses?
I don't think you're wrong to be optimistic about it, Dave. He comes with the recommendation of Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. Now, I know that Belichick assistants typically don't do well. But, I mean, I just with this situation right now, I'm choosing to be optimistic about the Giants just because I can't see them being worse than they were last year with the moves that they've made. Like, I think this team will be a lot better than they were the past 3 years. They have to be.
Yeah,
there's nowhere else to go but up.
I kind of feel like that as well. And I'm not sure, Rick, if it's just because I'm such a Giants fan or maybe they've turned a corner here.
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, you like what they did as far as your offensive line is concerned.
Yep.
Right? Defense still has, you know, lots of issues. You don't necessarily love Dave Gettleman, but for the time being, I do like the fact that, you know, Joe Judge was a special teams guy as opposed to being a coordinator. So he's going to be a CEO, oversee everything. And I think they did a good job of picking his staff. I like the fact that Jason Garrett's your offensive coordinator, former head coach. You bring in Freddie Kitchens, who, I mean, he's had some head coaching experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've done the right things.
You know what it is? You know what it is, Rick? They found the next quarterback. They found him. They got him. So you got him. He's got weapons to work with, and you fortified the offensive line in front of him. That means the franchise should be in a good place moving forward.
And I'm not even saying this just to make you feel good. I mean, between what you saw from Daniel Jones last year, the fact that Saquon Barkley is, you know, going into his third year after seeing Christian McCaffrey get paid. He was banged up last season. Hopefully Evan Engram stays healthy. You're probably going to be trailing in a lot of these games because your defense stinks.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants have a top 10 offense in the National Football League.
I think they're going to need to. I think to be a decent team, they're going to have a really good offense this year. That's why I kind of wanted to question, you know, Mike Tannenbaum about it, because I think they're going to need to be good offensively.
I think they can be. I think they will be, to be honest.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, you believe in the quarterback. The offensive line is going to be better, much better, you'd figure. You have a running back who's elite when healthy, and there's no reason to think that he won't be. Tight end, now that's a question mark with health, but when he's healthy, he's very good. And you have a couple receivers that you like. So, again, I think the Giants offensively can be a good football team, a really good football team.
Yeah, I think they'll be a really good football team if the quarterback doesn't turn the ball over 20 times. And with the improvements that they've made on the offensive line, I would think that Daniel Jones would cut down on the fumbles in the pocket. So to me, they have all the makings of being a really good offense. The only thing that to me would derail it is if the players that they pick to fix the offensive line aren't players, or the quarterback is just going to turn the ball over a whole bunch. And I just don't see either of those happening.
Well, if the fourth overall selection is not a big-time player, you could say goodbye to Dave Gettleman right now, because he will not be here for long.
Yeah, but let's not act like we haven't seen top 10 draft picks be bust.
I'm not
especially
saying it's
at
not
the offensive
possible.
Line for the Giants.
I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying that would be the final nail in the coffin of Dave Gettleman, because we talk about they better win this year. That's what the owner said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the fourth overall selection is not really good, and probably right away, I can't see Gettleman being here next season.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I would agree.
All right,
with that.
Rick, you're ready. I know you're ready.
More than ready, Dave. Just I mean,
more
just
than ready.
Pent up.
All right, he's got a lot. He's got a lot. He's all pent up. He's ready to go. It's an observations, and here we go.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, fellas. Just want to warn you, last time I was this pent up, we ended up with Ella. So who knows where this thing goes.
Oh, goodness.
Here we go. We're going to start with some good news. Pay attention. You guys are going to like this. We're sitting here asking questions about, you know, what the NFL is going to do, what the season is going to look like. Dr. Anthony Fauci had some good news on Tuesday when he said he believes the U.S. may have a successful COVID-19 vaccine as early as late fall.
Oh, that would be unbelievable.
I mean, that's better than unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said that the way he described it is almost like a Shark Tank-style process where multiple labs have been working at record speed to come up with a vaccine. So right now, he said there are at least 8 candidate COVID-19 vaccines in clinical development.
That'd be a game changer. That'd be the game changer we'd be desperate for.
Yeah, that would be huge.
Right?
Yeah. That would be huge. Because usually, I mean, they usually say around 18 months to get the vaccine. So if all of a sudden you had this thing by late fall, that would be tremendous.
Well, you got to figure that they are working just, like you said, round the clock.
As he said it. I mean, right now he said that there's at least eight vaccines that are in clinical development, and they're hoping that more than one of them, they're hoping to have multiple winners in the situation.
Yeah, I mean,
more than one of these vaccines are successful.
Yeah, I mean, the sooner you get a vaccine, not only are you talking about a quicker return to team sports, but you're also talking about being able to add fans in stadiums and arenas sooner rather than later. So I think that completely changes all the conversations we've been having for the last couple of months.
100%. Absolutely,
wow.
100%.
That's exciting.
That's pretty good news on a Tuesday.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, here we go, boys. Let's start off with, did this happen in Florida? Dave, you're going to love this story because I'm sure at some point during your career, I don't care what it was, working at Dunkin' Donuts, you would like to do this.
Okay.
Apparently... I love this story. Apparently, in this conflicting reports, we don't know exactly why, but the gist of the story is employee is upset because he is told by his boss that he will not get a new semi truck, right?
And from his boss?
From his boss. Well, yeah, the boss makes the decision. I mean, he's obviously drives a truck for a living, and he's supposed to get a new truck. But it was either lack of performance, it was he failed the drug test. Like, we're not 100% sure why he didn't get the new truck, but he's not getting the new truck. So what does he do? He asks his boss, is that your white Ferrari parked outside? Boss says, yes. He leaves, jumps in his old truck, and smashes it into the Ferrari.
Love it.
Are you kidding?
Love it.
Drives it right on top of the hood of the Ferrari.
Love it.
And by the way, the Ferrari is estimated at around $260,000.
So I take it the knob in this story is the owner and not the truck driver.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Because we would all like to be the truck driver where you could just say, you know what? Is that your Ferrari? I'm going to drive on top of it.
Didn't you
now,
have
I would
a story
imagine the
about...
truck driver is looking for work at the moment.
I would. That's probably a safe bet, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you have a story, Rico, where somebody out in Long Island drove a Hummer on top of a Lamborghini?
Yeah, that was not Long Island. That was... That story was told to me. Guy had a H1 and had tons and tons of money.
Where was this at?
This was a Canadian story.
Oh, okay.
He's up in Canada. Lamborghini decides to steal his spot as he's going to turn into it. Guy just parks, walks away, doesn't give him any mind. So he backs the H1 up and then just parks it on top of the Lamborghini and then put his card in the windshield of the Lamborghini.
I love that.
Did that happen in Florida, fellas? Was that a Florida story?
Boy, Chris, I don't know. I'm really. This is not an easy one. I'm gonna say no. I don't feel like this is Florida, and without really much knowledge of this, the rationale is just everywhere is Florida right now, so there's a better chance with everywhere else than there is with Florida. So I'm gonna say no.
A lot of open road in Florida for a semi and for a Ferrari. So I'm gonna say yeah, it did happen in Florida.
Hmm.
I'm not going to ask Santi because he already knows. He sent me the story. Dave Rothenberg, I mean, you just continue to impress me. This was Chicago. This was not Florida.
Chicago? See, that I would never have guessed there.
No.
A Chi-Town, baby.
Now, you could have given me 50 guesses and I wouldn't have gone with Chicago.
Yeah, deep dish and driving semis onto Ferraris. That's what they do.
Very surprising.
That's how they roll. Here we go. One last, did this happen in Florida? I have another story that I don't even know if I can tell because of what it involves.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I mean, the fact that this happens.
I'm thinking you probably can't then tell the story.
Yeah, because what she's doing in the video, I mean, is there's really no word to describe it. I mean, you could use the word fiddling. I mean, I don't know what you'd want to use.
Uh-huh.
But it was at IKEA, and she actually makes a video. And I don't know how this happens. It's like a two-minute video in all different places in IKEA, and no one at any point decides to stop her. She just does it. Like on a couch, on the bed, and then releases the video. So now IKEA has pledged to up their security. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how you make a video in an IKEA like this. Unless people just the self-distancing.
Well, nobody's probably paying close attention to her. She's walking around doing her thing.
I think if you saw this video, you'd be paying attention.
It's more than, gratuitous?
Oh, it's just, yeah, this is, yeah, I don't think diddling is really the best word to describe it. Kind of gives you an idea. But yeah,
who knew IKEA could be so interesting?
Very interesting. This is DIY to the extreme. They are known for DIY. I'm not going to tell you that one.
No, God forbid you get into that story.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell you that one. I'm going to tell you this one. Did this happen in Florida? Things you don't expect to happen when you're 66 years old laying on the beach. That would be unbeknownst to you.
Benounced?
Benounced. Yeah, I like benounced.
You can go with it, but it's not right.
I'm going to make it up. Unbeknownst to you, as you're suntanning at 66 years old, things most likely not to happen to you would be to get run over by a police officer in a Ford Explorer.
What?
Yeah. 27-year-old police officer started her day on beach patrol in a 2018 Ford Explorer. This is around 6-ish, and what does she do as she's driving at a very slow speed? She runs over the hips of a 66.
Oh, my God. So how injured was this person?
Serious, but not life-threatening. Serious, but not life-threatening. Yeah. I don't know
how
that's...
This has to be Florida.
Really?
I think it has to be. No?
Listen, it's up to you. I mean, you're the one making the decision.
Well, now you're confusing me. With your really?
I mean, people on beaches, where are they doing that at? I mean, it has to be either Florida or California, right?
I think, it has to be. I'm going to go with Florida. I mean, the beaches are open. They're out there laying around. Yes, I'm going to say Florida.
I'm going to agree with you, Dave, because you've been on a hot streak. Florida.
What do you think, Santi?
I mean, again, the options are so limited. It's got to be Florida. I can't see this happening in California.
You guys are all correct. That is Florida.
Yes.
That was Pinellas County. We actually ran someone over before in a...
What?
Yeah.
Who's... When you say we, who
I was in the vehicle. I was in the vehicle, yeah.
Who was driving? Minivan.
I'm not going to give you his name. This was when we were at the U.S. program.
You drove over a human being?
I didn't. He did. Yeah, I did.
You were in a car that drove over a human being?
The legs of a human being, yeah.
And how did that pan out?
Makes you an accessory.
Fine for us, not great for him. So we were driving. It was raining. And then, so as we came over this bridge, they were coming back from practice. This is this big, ugly green minivan we're driving. And I'm in the back seat. And as we're coming over this bridge, it's like a cobblestone bridge. And then, if you were to bear right, there's a restaurant at the bottom. And apparently they valet cars. They take them up. And then they have to walk back to the restaurant. So as we're driving and it's raining, he pops out in front of us, like turns and looks and realizes, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And then tries to stop and go back. And because it was cobblestone and slippery, he fell.
Oh, no.
And then, ba-boom, ba-boom. And then.
So you felt the leg
ran over
under
the valet?
Car?
Yeah, he ran over the valet. But then he popped. Then we got out of the car and he was gone. And then we looked over and he was limping back to the restaurant. That was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You and then the kid. Over that, a human being.
The kid that was driving was, I killed. Like, it was craziness. The reality is that, if you can think of something, it's probably happened to me.
Seems that way.
But he
now,
was fine.
Is this person someone that if you said the name, everyone would know who it was?
Probably not. Maybe hockey fans would. Mm-hmm. I mean, he played in the NHL. The other kid in the car, coaches now. Successful coach. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to the valet long time.
He was fine. I mean, I would like to
still walking with a limp.
Probably, yeah. Kneecap wasn't really where it was supposed to. It was pretty grotesque, yeah. But we had people that stopped, and I mean, we saw it. It's not your fault, but it was crazy, man. Crazy.
But it wasn't a hit and run.
No. We stopped. I mean, we looked for him, but the kid that was driving. He's probably still not over it.
So it was a hit and limp.
It was a hit. Yeah, it was a hit and limp. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, heavy limp, like Kaiser Sose.
But that turned out well.
All right, here we go. This is This is not a did it happen in Florida. I'm going to tie this back into sports. Did you see what happened to Trevor Bauer?
Yes. They put his phone number up on during the Korean broadcast.
Yes.
Hold on. I missed this one. Frame it up for me, Rico.
All right. Okay. So it's Jess Mendoza in Boog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they bring him in. So what they've been doing is they've been doing interviews during these games. So via FaceTime, they bring in Trevor Bauer. So he's actually on the screen. And it's, him on the right. And then on top of his FaceTime picture, it says FaceTime with, and then again, it gives his phone number on television. And listen, I mean, he's made the best of it. Obviously, he's going to have to change his phone number. But he said, so ESPN just leaked my number to the entire world, LOL. So in honor of this, he's going to do a giveaway. I'll be giving away a pair of signed cleats and an autographed baseball over the next 48 hours. Rules are in my voicemail. Good luck.
Nice.
That's
so
dope.
He made a good situation out of a bad situation.
Yeah, exactly right. What are you going to do at that point? Change the number and be done with it. I mean, we once as a practical joke,
we
gave away in, you can put out ads in the papers.
Mm-hmm.
So we put an ad in the paper for free puppies and we put his phone number. So he's getting phone calls for free puppies.
Calling about the puppies.
And he was losing his mind. He's like, I don't have any puppies. It's hysterical. All right, let's end with that one. There you go, boys. That is today's observations.
That was wonderful. Really was. All right, Chris, this is for you. The votes are in. And tonight, May 12th, we're celebrating Derek Jeter by showing a classic Derek Jeter game on ESPN television as part of our MLB Encore Tuesdays. The game that you voted for was Mr. November against the Diamondbacks back in 2001. Tune in tonight to ESPN television at 7 to see the dramatic ninth inning comeback capped by Jeter's walk-off homer in the 10th. So I'm sure you'll be glued to that tonight, ESPN at 7 o'clock. Have you guys seen, I mean, a lot of people don't know this. We have a fourth host of the show, CC Sabathia, who joins not all that often for hosting purposes, but he is one of the four hosts of the show. Have you seen what he looks like?
Shredded.
I mean, he looks unbelievable.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's wearing the tank top. Arms are all cut up nice.
He looks like he lost 80 pounds.
Yeah, it looks like he lost a person.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, looks good. He's got with my trainer Dave Palladino out there in Norwood, New Jersey, and you know, he's committed to getting the weight off, man. You see that with a lot of professional athletes. Once they're done playing, they try to lose all of that extra weight that they don't need.
Good for him.
Yeah.
It's great.
Some would make the argument that he probably didn't need that much weight when he pitched, but apparently he thought he did.
He thought he did, though.
The Yankees thought he did, too, didn't they?
Didn't he lose weight and then say, I got to put it back on?
Well, he lost weight, and then I guess he lost a little bit of his velocity. Then the Yankees actually wanted him to gain some weight back. That was the team.
Yeah.
So I just don't know, as far as your knee joint, like on your, I mean, the leg you land on having knee problems, I don't know, being 300 pounds is actually probably great for having a knee issue.
Looks unbelievable now. He's got to be, I don't know, 225?
Well, he was pushing three bills, so yeah, I mean, he probably somewhere
he was
around
over
that.
300.
Yeah, I mean, the stories are he was somewhere around 300. Yeah, who knows how much he actually weighed.
Because he's a tall guy.
He's huge, yeah.
And he was a huge man. I bet you he was 330.
I mean, Canty's 6'8 and like 330. I don't know. I
but
mean,
how big is
not as tall.
Canty, how big is CeCe?
He ain't 6'8.
He's like my size. He's maybe a little bit shorter, but he's like my size, yeah.
Good for him though, man. I mean, he had health concerns anyway. I mean, he had the heart issue anyway.
He had the stint, right?
Yeah.
So.
As a young man,
scary.
Yeah, young man. But when you're talking about life or death, and they're saying you need to lose weight, then yeah.
Yeah, you go. You take care of business. Good for him. So, other than of course, Chris, watching the November Yankees World Series win tonight. What do you got on tap the rest of the day?
That's a great question, Dave. Tonight is probably going to be whatever the lady wants to watch on television, just based on how things went on Sunday and yesterday. So I'm not going to have a lot of choice in the matter. I'm just hoping that it's not Greece.
Wait, hang on. What do you? Did things go south? What happened?
No, I'm just talking about what I was watching on Sunday. With the last
because
dance
you,
and all
on
that
Mother's
stuff,
Day,
yeah.
You chose Last Dance. Gotcha.
Yeah, of course.
So now you're gonna let her choose tonight.
Yeah, and then Saturday we had the whole UFC thing. So I'm just saying that you know, got to give and take, Dave. This is gonna be one of those nights when I give.
Yep.
Wow. Give and take.
Smart move by you.
Just try to guess. Just ballpark. What time do you think that Cass and I were in bed last night? Just ballpark.
8:45.
7:30.
Like a child. Who gets into bed at 7:30 unless they're sick?
The Last Dance, man. I can't do it. It takes a lot out of me.
So if you stay up to the all hours of 11 o'clock, you are now completely out for the next night.
Tucked in 7:30.
You're like a baby. What? I love it.
Oh, man. It's too much.
7:45, lights out.
Oh, lights out. 7:30, I was done. Teeth brushed, in bed.
Is it even dark?
No, it's not dark.
You're going to bed with the sun still up.
So, yeah.
You are
dude, I could have went and got a tan, and I'm snoozing.
Oh, my God.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.